Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, as you know, I'm with Reynaldo Royo, and we've been discussing his career in the business area, which is radio and TV, etc., and then the transition. Let's talk of very briefly, and then we can more go into more detail. But this decision, you explained that you moved slowly into the arbitration. Somebody had mentioned that there was a need for arbitrators in the area of claims having to do with stock sales, etc. Tell us, you know, what this organization is, and generally, so that the listeners. I learned because there's an incredible amount of misunderstanding as to what an arbitrator, you know, does, and they confuse it with a mediator. But let's start off. We're going to have an extension of this.
Okay.
Well, we only have about 10 minutes, let's get started.
We can get it started.
Your role as an arbitrator.
Okay. When you go to a brokerage house and you have some money that you want to invest, you sign an agreement. It's a form, your name and social security number, and they say how much capital you have, what is your income, what are your expenses, what is your degree of risk tolerance, whether you want to take a risk or you want to play it safe. Normally, the bigger the risk, the higher the interest or dividends your income, your potential income. But also, the bigger the risk. If you want to play it real safe, you buy bonds or whatever, which pay less. And like in every business deal, there are times when one party has a claim against the other party. Normally, a client may have a claim against the brokerage house because they claim that the brokerage house had some wrongdoing. And as a consequence of that, he lost money. It could be the other way around. The brokerage house may have a claim against the customer. When you go to work, an employee for a brokerage house, you sign an agreement. And in that business agreement, there is a clause of arbitration, which that clause is there also in the form where you go as a client. So both a client and an employee agree that should they have a claim against a brokerage house or should their brokerage house have a claim against them, they will not go to a court of law. They sign a contract which has an arbitration clause. That being the case, when a claim comes up, they have to go to a panel of arbitrators which is selected either by the New York Stock Exchange or the NASD, which is the National Association of Security Dealers, and now they have a joint organization called FINRA, Financial Institution Regulatory Authority, which does the arbitration for them. And rather than going to a court of law, you go there and you plead your case there. Arbitration is an alternate way to solve a problem. An alternative to going to a court of law, just like mediation is. You're familiar with mediation.
Right.
The main difference is that mediators are like marriage counselors. They try to get the people to talk sense into them. Look, if you go to court, you're going to waste a lot of time, you're going to waste a lot of money, and it's going to be hard on you. Most of the time, it's best to settle. And a mediator, he tries to talk sense and to get the parties to compromise. Us arbitrators are not concerned with them settling. If they settle, good. But we listen to their case, we listen to witnesses, we read documents that they bring before us, and we make a decision. That decision is compulsory because they've signed an arbitrating agreement. It is binding. Our decision is law. We send the written results to the FINRA organization, and they take it to a court of law. And it is also final, which is really rough for the parties because they cannot be appealed. Like in a court of law, you go to here, you go to an appellate court or a Supreme Court. What we do is final. So it can be stressful for us knowing that here are a lot of sums of money involved, conflicting testimony. One party is saying one thing, another party is saying a different thing. At least one of them may be lying or is lying because they're mutually exclusive.
Right, right.
The two of them may be lying. And, it's a world by itself. But the stressful part of it is, like I mentioned before, it's like parachuting of an airplane. You have to get it right the first time because if you don't get it right the first time, you don't have a second chance at bat.
Right. And one of the interesting things is you have not had a legal background. Your background has been fully in the business world, and yet you decided to become an arbitrator. And of course, it's an arbitrator in arbitration in the business world because it has to do with stock sales and with business, the employees with their business. But you don't have any legal background.
So of the
arbitrators that you've been on, the three-member panels,
yes.
Of the arbitrators that you normally work with, what percentage are business people or non-lawyers?
In Puerto Rico, most of them are lawyers.
Right.
Most of them are lawyers. I have arbitrated cases in Boca Raton in Florida. There, only about half of them are lawyers. The other 50% are people like myself.
Right, right. And the same thing happens with the mediation. A lot of people think that most mediators are lawyers, and in the States, an awful lot of mediators are psychiatrists, psychologists, and of all areas of professional and business worlds, and can be mediators as long as they're trained, like you were trained, to handle these kinds of procedures. In terms of the decision, is it like a judge? I mean, in an opinion that's with the facts and then the law and then the judgment. How is that final decision come out?
We have a hearing. They bring witnesses. They have a witness list. They make an opening statement, each one. Then they present their witnesses. The witnesses are cross-examined by the attorney for the other party. They have objections. I have to rule whether the objection is valid or not. Like you say, I do not have a legal background, but I have read all the laws applicable to the to arbitration as such and rules.
And they're a little bit more flexible than the courts.
Yes. For example, the rules of evidence are not applicable in our cases. So we may admit evidence that a court of law will not admit. Another thing is, in our instructions, we are told we are not bound by statutory law or precedent. We're not bound. Further down, it says, however, you cannot show total disregard for the law.
Yeah, so
now, you figure that one out.
That's a typical lawyer kind of statement. Ray, we got into this, and I sort of foresaw that we would get into this area a little bit late. So this is a fascinating area, how the arbitration process works and how it compares to mediation and some of the other alternatives that people have. But we've run out of time. I'm going to invite you back, and we're going to start off. And there's a number of other stories that you had in your career. I'm going to invite you back, and we're going to go a little bit more detail into this area, alternative dispute resolution, with your experience in 40-some cases that you've had. But I want to thank you for joining me. I look forward to having you back soon, maybe even next Monday. We have to work that out.
I'll check with my wife. She runs the schedule, sure. Mm-hmm.
And congratulations on a great career. For my listeners, I hope, I usually say, have a stressless week, that you were able to resolve your conflicts. Look forward to having you back on the program next week.
Thank you for inviting me. Sure.
Yep.
Thank you for joining our Business Resolutions discussion with Jorge Gonzalez. You're invited to join Jorge and his guest each week at 8:06 Saturday morning, 2:06 Monday afternoon, and 6:06 Friday evening.